Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Chav Dalet. And we begin 16 lines down from the top of Chav Dalet, Amud Aleph, with the words Amar Shmuel. It's right in the middle of the Tosos, Lo Shanu. Shmuel tells us the following halacha. Amar Shmuel, Pachas Chova, Neser Rishus. What are Pachas and what are Chova? The Gemara will now explain these are mnemonics, abbreviations, for three things that are Avelus is Noeg on Shabbos, and three things where Avelus is not Noeg on Shabbos. Now, the first mnemonic, Pachas, stands for Priyas Arosh, and keep your hand on the Rashi Ksivyad, where he explains each one of these things. So Priyas Arosh, about 10 lines down in the Rashi Ksivyad, tells us, Lav Gidel Seyar Hu. This isn't talking about the normal use of Per Arosh, is letting your hair grow long. Here it means specifically, Elo Gilui Harosh. Here it means uncovering your head. In other words, taking off the hat or the kerchief or the sudar that you were wearing around your head as part of the Avelus process. Gilui Harosh, Shemesir Atifas Suavelus Me'olam B'Shabbos. So on Shabbos, when it comes, they wouldn't have this Atifas Harosh. The rest of the week of the Avelus, as we pointed out, we're not really knowing this today, except some people do wear a hat down low over their eyes. But the Atifas Harosh that they classically had, which we'll discuss a little bit more now, one is not obligated to do that on Shabbos. So Pachas Chova means you must go and remove the head covering. You have to do Priyas Arosh. That's the pay in Pachas. The Ches in Pachas, that's Chazaras Kara Liachorav. They used to rip their garments for Kriya, and they didn't necessarily have another garment, so they would wear this garment on Shabbos, but you can't have the Kriya in the front, so they would turn the shirt around, and now the Kriya, the ripped part, would be in the back. As Rashi Ksivyad says, Shobes HaTzavor, you had the tear on the front part near the neck. Shalehen Oya Mesukun Kedei Lahafol Chaluko, to go flip it around from the front to the back. And in this way, Mashalifnim Le'ochar, what was in the front is now in the back. So you can't have the tear, the kriya, visible on Shabbos, so you have to bring it around. If you only have one garment, obviously if you have Shabbos clothing, you wear the Shabbos clothing. Here we're talking about a person only has one garment, so he's allowed to still wear that garment, but he can't have the kriya in the front, he has the kriya in the back. That's the ches in Pachas, and the zayin in Pachas is zekifa samita. They used to do something called kfiya samita. They overturned their beds. Again, we don't do this. Their beds were different than our beds. They would turn the bed upside down. So for Shabbos, they had to re-upright the bed into the proper position. So all of these things are chova. The Pachas, these three things, Priyas Arosh, to take off the Atifa that they had, to turn the Kriya from the front to the back if they were going to wear that same shirt, or take off the shirt itself that had the tear in it, and the turning upright of the beds, these were all obligations that were chova for a person to do this on Shabbos, because you're not allowed to have a Velus b'fahesya on Shabbos. By the Zekifa Samita, so Rashi says over here in the Ksivyat, he says that the Ovel is chayav lezokva b'shabbos kisikni. You have to put it back into the way that it was. Now, what is the neter, the mnemonic neter? So the nun in neter stands for ne'ilas asandal, to go put on leather shoes. The Avel is not allowed to wear leather shoes during the week of the Avelis. They would take off the shoes, they would walk barefoot. So this next group, neter, including ne'ilas asandal, says that if you wish, you don't have to go and put back on your shoes on Shabbos. You're certainly allowed to put your shoes back on Shabbos. Let's say a guy wants to walk barefoot. So there's no isser in him walking barefoot. He's still allowed, if he wishes to take off his shoes. The Gemara will explain in a moment that these things aren't necessarily proof that the person's an Avelis and demonstrating Avelis with Fahesia, because people walk barefoot even if they're not an Avelis. So therefore, the requirement to wear leather shoes on Shabbos isn't an obligation. You're allowed to, but if you choose not to, this is a rishus. If you wish to, you can still walk barefoot on Shabbos. That's the nun in neter. What is the tuf in neter? That's tasha shamita. The person wishes to have tasha shamita on Shabbos, according to this opinion, he's allowed to. We paskin that this is still considered something that Yesh Avelis B'Shabbos for Dorm Shabbatzina. But the concept over here is that since now you technically are permitted to have Tashma Shemitah, but it's an achiyev. If you choose not to, if you're not in the mood to have Tashma Shemitah on Shabbos, so you're not mechuyev to, that doesn't demonstrate that you're doing Avelis on Shabbos. And the reish in that there, that's Ruchitzas Yodayim V'Raglayim B'Chamin Arvis, to go and wash your feet and your hands with hot water on Friday night. Now, it has to be water, Rashi points out, that was heated up. Kigon Rashi and Ksiviat, Kigon Shuchmu Erev Shabbos, Abol Huchmu B'Shabbos, L'Kuliam Asav. If it's heated up on Shabbos, of course you can't do this. But you have hot water that was heated up before Shabbos, so you're allowed, if you wish to go and wash your hands and your feet with hot water, which an Avil normally would not do. However, These are rishus, all these three things. Nilas asam, the tashu shemisha, and the rechitza. So an ovel would be allowed to do them on Shabbos, but they're not obligated to do them on Shabbos. As opposed to the first three, the pachas, the ovel is obligated to do them on Shabbos because they demonstrate clearly that you're in avelus on Shabbos. Whereas these last three things, the absence of doing them doesn't demonstrate that you're definitely in avelus. Person chooses not to wear leather shoes. He wants to walk barefoot. Person chooses not to have tashu shemisha. He's not interested. Person chooses not to wash their hands and feet because you don't take. Not everybody washes their hands and feet with hot water, even if they're not in avelus. So those are the three things that are a chiv according to Shmuel, the pachas, and the three things that they're allowed but not mechuyev to do if you're in avelus on Shabbos according to Shmuel. That's the netter. Rav disagrees with one of these six things. Rav Amar af priyasarosh. He says that first group pachas that Shmuel said you must take off the atifa, you must uncover your head. So Rav says, if you choose not to, av priyasarosh rishus. Some people are cold. They want to wear the kerchief over their head. So they're allowed to, even though it's Shabbos. So Rav disagrees with that one aspect of Shmuel. He agrees with the other five. Mora says, nu, Shmuel, why didn't he hold like Rav? Ushmuel, maishno nila sasando the rishus. Why Shmuel agrees that if you choose to wear shoes on Shabbos, you can, but if you choose to walk barefoot, that's allowed. It doesn't demonstrate avelus. Why doesn't it demonstrate avelus? Because the lav kuliyam avi did the same b'sanayu. Because not every single person wears shoes on Shabbos, as Rashi Sivriad says. Benonira kinoig avelus b'Shabbos. The fact that he's walking barefoot doesn't demonstrate that he's an avel. There are many people that walk barefoot on Shabbos because they choose not to wear shoes in their house. So therefore, in this situation, it doesn't demonstrate avelus. So if Shmuel says that the lack of wearing shoes doesn't demonstrate avelus, so too priyasa rosh. If the person chooses not to uncover his head, he's cold. He wants to wear a kerchief. There's a draft. So why would that also? Lav kuliyama avidi de magal rishai. Not every single person who's not in avelus doesn't cover his head. Some people who aren't in avelus also cover the head. So Shmuel agrees that the wearing of the shoes, of not wearing shoes, doesn't demonstrate avelus. Some people choose not to wear shoes. So likewise, not removing the cover on your head, so that also doesn't demonstrate avelus, because some people choose not to walk bareheaded on Shabbos. So how come Shmuel doesn't agree with Rav? Rav Taka seems to be correct. So Shmuel says, no, Shmuel Taimei. Shmuel disagrees with Rav, because Shmuel holds that we're talking here about Priyas HaRosh, that is obligated to do Priyas HaRosh, according to Shmuel, is because it's a specific type of covering of the head that the Avelim did. Not just Stam, they wore a hat. Not just Stam, they wore a kerchief. But Shmuel Taimei, Domer Shmuel, Shmuel holds, Kol Kera She'enu B'Shas Chima Me'enu Kera. Now that we'll discuss in a moment. That has nothing to do with our proof over here, but we'll discuss this in a moment. He says that when you rip Kriya, you have to do it B'Shas Chima. What is B'Shas Chima? So Rashi Ksiviyat tells us, Somuch L'Ptiras HaMeis. It has to be in close proximity to the time of the death of the person. Otherwise, you do it a week later, you do it a long time later, it's not going to go and be something that is a ripping of kriya because of the anguish of the death. It's just, you just ripped your garment. And therefore, you wouldn't be, Yotzei, fulfilling the mitzvah of kriya in this situation. So we'll discuss this more in a moment. That's not the point that this was brought down. The second point that Shmuel said is, well, the reason why this is brought down, because Shmuel holds that the atifa that an oval has to do is a very specific type of atifa. They call atifa, she'eno katifas yishme'elim. If you do a wrapping of the head, you do this atifa, but you don't do it in the way that the yishme'elim used to do. This is the way, by the way, it brings down when you put on your talis in the morning, you should do, when you wrap it around your head, when you're making the bracha, you should do it katifas yishme'elim. So if you don't do this atifas yishme'elim during the avelus, so then ain't atifa, then you wouldn't fulfill this idea of atifa. What is this? Katifas yishme'elim. So the Rashi Ksivya tells us, ikule amo lo nihigi batia vazu elo avelim buvad, that the only people that did this atifa, according to Shmuel, were avelim. So therefore, you can't say, listen, some people walk around with their head covered because it's cold, there's a draft. No, they wouldn't do atifas yishme'elim. They might cover up their head, but they wouldn't do atifas yishme'elim. So if a person does atifas yishme'elim, that's proof positive that he's in avelus. And since we hold, we don't do things in public avelus on Shabbos, therefore you must undo, according to Shmuel, the atifas yishme'elim. That's why the pazer, according to Shmuel, you must do priyas harosh, you must uncover your head, you must remove the atifas yishme'elim, because that will be proof positive, as opposed to the shoes, which is not proof positive, that will be proof positive that you're doing avelus on Shabbos. Obviously, Rav disagrees. Rav says any type of atifa is acceptable, and therefore, since regular people also do atifa sarosh, it's lav davka, if somebody has atifa sarosh, that they're doing avelus b'fahesya on Shabbos. What exactly is this atifas yishme'elim? So Machmir Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman demonstrated this, he showed this, ad gube de dikna. What is gube de dikna? So Rashi Sivyad brings down the gumos shebolechi lamatumipiv. This is talking about like the pits in the cheek, where the jaw is below the mouth, and you must cover up in that way. That is called a tivish shmelim. In other words, you basically are covering up the entire face, but the eyes. You're covering up, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, mechasa sefomo, you're covering up the mustache area, v'zakeno, the beard area, v'chotu, and the nose, v'mitzin nefaso, with your cloak, or your sudar, o betalisa, or with your talis. And again, as I mentioned, when you put on your talis in the morning, so you people have the custom that they throw the talis over the face, but you're not supposed to throw it over your eyes. You're only supposed to do like atipas yishmelim, which you cover up the lower part of your face, but you don't cover up your eyes. In any event, that explains why Shmuel and Rav have their machlokas. Shmuel says it's only the Atifas Yishmaelim that you fulfill the obligation of Atifas Arosh, and therefore it demonstrates Avelis if you walk around like that, because regular people don't walk around like that. And Rav says, no, any Atifa fulfills that obligation, and therefore, since people walk around with their heads covered on Shabbos, a lot of Dafik, everybody walks around without this Atifa, so therefore it doesn't demonstrate Avelis. Now, Shmuel had made an original statement, which we're now going to discuss. That was called Kera She'enu B'Sha'as Chimam Eino Kera. So what exactly does this refer to? So Tosfos says, near in Dibur Masav Chol Kera, so Tosfos says, near a Doha D'Omar Le'el, that which we said in a Shir on Daf Chof a few days ago, Mishin is Damin Lo Choluk B'Soch Zayin, if somebody gets a cloak during the 7 days, Afu B'She'en Sha'as Chimam, even though it's during the Shiva, but it's not at the moment, Somuch Lepetiraso, it's not right next to the time of the death, Shema Dafka Kigon Shikara Kvar. So maybe in that situation we said you have to rip Kriya, how would Shmuel say that's not Sha'as Chimam, so it must be that you already ripped beforehand, and B'Hocha Ma'ir B'Shlo Kara Dayin, and here Shmuel talking about where you didn't rip Kriya and it's too late to be Yotzei the Mitzvah of ripping Kriya. That's Teretz number one. Inami, Teretz number two, Kigon She'elo Cholok B'Sha'a Rishona. He didn't have a Cholok at that period of time, like we pointed out. He had a borrowed cloak on, and he's not allowed to go rip Kriya on a borrowed cloak. So in this situation, Chayiv L'Kroa, Kishielo Afilu Shlo B'Sha'as Chimam. Since there was an obligation to do so, and he wasn't able to fulfill this obligation, so therefore, now that he can't fulfill the obligation, even though it's not Sha'as Chimam, he has to still do it. Those are the first two terutzim the Tosfos brings down. And the Tosfos says, Linear, my own personal thought is, the B'chol Sha'a Sh'yuchol Ischamim Ameso. Because at any moment in time, it's not just somuch lepetiraso that you're sad about the mace and you have the passion, the chimum, the emotion that you're missing the mace. Afilu zman meruba achar misaso. It could even occur well after the death of the person. That's also considered still sha'as chimum. Shaper kori b'sha'as chimum. That's still called sha'as chimum at that point in time. As we're going to say in the Gemara, k'shvoshim rabbanon by a rav, when you rip Kriya, you don't have to do it only B'Sha'as Chimam, because every time you remember the dinim, or you miss him because you can't pass in the dinim, you need his help, you midkarayi shmasayu, you remember his words of Torah, and that would therefore make that Sha'as Chimam all over again. So to over here, the person remembers the mace and has a strong emotional attachment to that mace, so the Sha'as Chimam could be even not somuch lipati rosso. In any event, that explains Shmuel's din and the previous din that we have. Now the Gemara continues and tells us, "On Rav Yaakov, on Rav Yochanan, Rav Yaakov's name Rav Yochanan, Lo Shanu Elosh Ein Lo Minolim Biraglov." That which we said that Shmuel, now Ksiv Yad Rashi says this is for all of the things that Shmuel said, is a person is obligated to do the Priyas Harosh, and also the Zekivitz Amita. Others say it only talks about the Priyas Harosh. So if you are in fact not wearing shoes, Loshanu Elosh Ein Lo Minolim Biraglov. That's when you're not wearing shoes. So therefore, you need to demonstrate that you're not Navelis. However, Avo Yesh Lo Minolim Biraglov. He's wearing leather shoes. So then, if he has leather shoes, Minolim Biraglov, Minolim Mochichen Lov. So it's clear he's not Navelis by the fact that he's wearing leather shoes. So therefore, the other things aren't as important to do. If you wish, then you can even walk around with not doing Priyas Arosh and not doing Zekifas Hamita, according to the Rashi Ksiv Yad. Now we go back and discuss that point of Shmuel, Kol Kera, She'eno B'Sha'as Chimam, Eino Kera. That's not considered a Kriya, a valid Kriya, to be Yotzei the obligation to rip Kriya, unless you do it B'Sha'as Chimam, which simple understood. He said it was Somuch Lipti Rosso. Aymar says, Shmuel himself didn't seem to hold like that. When they told Shmuel Nebuch that Noch Nashe the Rav, Shmuel was younger than Rav, and Rav passed away before Shmuel, and Shmuel looked up to Rav as his Rebbe. Even though they were Bali plucked at the Rav Shas, Shmuel was subordinate to Rav. And when Shmuel heard that the Gadol Hador, that Rav had passed away, Kara Ale. Now the Girsa that we have is trace our money, 12 garments. Now it doesn't mean he tore all 12 at the same time. It means he switched shirts and he tore again. He switched shirts and he tore again. That's the Girsa that we have, 12 garments. In the Rabbeinu Chananel, he says that the Girsa should be Vikara Ale Tlesar Kavri money. He went and he tore 13 garments. In any event, 13 is the gears that we'll have in the next statement that we have here. So Mistam, that's 13 over here as well. So we see that Shmuel didn't do this only B'Shas Rimam. He did this for the next 13 times, 12 times, that he switched his shirt. And Omar, the reason why he did this was he said, Ozal Gavra, Davi Mistafina Mine, the person who I was afraid of, I feared. Now, what does it mean he feared him? So Rashi, both Rashi and the Sivyat both say Kushas, that Rav would slug up Shmuel. He would constantly point out why he disagreed with Shmuel. So Shmuel was afraid of Rav for the sharpness of Rav. So the person that I'm afraid of, so I'm going to continuously rip Kriya over him. Now, but it's not Shas Chimum. How could he do this? So again, Shmuel, you're the one that says B'Shas Chimum. It's only called Kriya. The Eino B'Shas Chimum, it's Eino Kera. So how come over here, you yourself did exactly what you said. It doesn't count. Similarly, Amalei Rav Yochanan, that when they told Rabbi Yochanan, Noch Nafshei the Rechanina, when the one who Rabbi Yochanan looked up to Rabbi Chanina was Niftar, so he also ripped Kora Ale, he ripped Kriya, Tlesar Itztale Melosa, 13 silk robes. So therefore, this also, he didn't do it all at once, but he did it day after day after day, or a period of time after period of time. Also, not Somuch L'Ptiraso. And he said the same idea that Shmuel said at the passing of Rav. Omar, Ozal Gavra, Davi Mistafina Mine, the person who I was terrified of in Halacha, who would always ask me questions and point out errors in my thinking. So I'm certainly going to miss him tremendously. And he ripped Kriya over him each time he thought of the loss. But this wasn't Shas Chimum, so how could Shmuel do this? Shmuel himself was the one that ripped Kriya by Rav. So Gemara says, no, shiny Rabbanan. This is what we brought down from Tosus before. The Kivan, the Kol Shaita, Mit Kereish Masayu, Kishas Chimum Domi. Because every time you think, oi, I need help in this halacha, I wish my Rebbe was around. Oh, I have a lack of clarity on this. I know my Rebbe would make it clear to me. So even though it's not Somuch L'Ptiraso, it renews against the emotion, and therefore they could rip Kriya 13, 12 times because it is like Kishas Chimum Domi. So therefore Shmuel is consistent. He says you have to rip Kriya Shas Chimum. Lav Davka, if Shas Chimum is only Somuch L'Ptiraso, Shas Chimum for a Talmud Chacham could come later on as well. And that's why Tosus had pointed out it could come for a regular person later on as well. That's Shmuel's understanding. The more questions is, Amale Ravin Bar Ada L'Rava. Ravin Bar Ada said to Rava. Now the Gersa that we have is Omar Talmidoch Rav Amram, that your Talmid Rav Amram said the following, Tanya. Others explain that Rav Amram was much earlier than Rava, and therefore it wouldn't make sense that Rav Amram was Rava's Talmud, so they would read it this way, either Omar or Amru Talmidoch, either your individual Talmud or your many Talmidim, they said, Rav Amram Tanya. They said that Rav Amram taught the following Brisa. In any event, this is the Brisa that Ravin Bar Ada is pointing out to Rava. Avel Kol Shiva Koral Fono. And Avil has to rip Kriya in the front. When you rip Kriya, it has to be in the front. And it says, the Imbala Hachlif Machlif Koreh. And if he brings another garment, so it's during the Shiva, so he wore a torn shirt. Now the shirt's a little bit dirty, and he doesn't want to wear this dirty shirt, so he puts on a new shirt. But he has to rip Kriya on the new shirt. Now it's not Shas Chimum. It's 3 days into the Avelis, 5 days into the Avelis. Imbala Hachlif Machlif Koreh. He has to go rip again. Now it's not Shas Chimum. That's going to be the question on Shmuel. The statement or the sprice continues, Bishabis, Korol Yacharev. You have to flip it around to the back. You only have one shirt. You can't wear the torn part of the shirt in the front. You have to turn it around to the back, like we pointed out before. V'yimbala hachlif, machlif eno koreh. And if you wish to change shirts for Shabbos, which is the commonly accepted custom, Baruch Hashem, where most people have more than one shirt, so the shirt that you ripped Kriya on during the weekday, you take that off, and on Shabbos, you put on a Shabbos shirt, which doesn't have a tear in it. You're not mechuyev to tear. You don't tear on Shabbos. V'yimbala hachlif, machlif eno koreh. You don't have to go and tear it even Friday afternoon, right before you put it on. Right before Shabbos, you don't have to go rip Kriya again on the Shabbos shirt. So clearly, this is not Shas Chimum when you wear the shirt on the day 3 or day 4, day 5 in the Avelis, and you have to go rip Kriya. So Kasha and Shmuel. So where it says, no, Kitanya hi b'chvod ovivimo. This Brisa that Rav Amram brought down is only talking about for a parent. And for a parent, it's different. You're doing it as kavod of the parent. Kavod for the parent is different din. As Rashi Ksiv Yad says, v'lo mishum chiv Kriya. You're not doing this because there's an obligation to rip Kriya. However, Abu Bishar Mason, for the other five relatives that you're sitting Shiva for, ain't a Rashi Likroa. You don't go rip Kriya when you put on a new shirt, day three, day five, whatever. And therefore, you can't switch the shirts because you're not supposed to take off your ripped shirt. And therefore, this din of Rav Amram that you rip Kriya a second time, a third time, a fourth time is only al covered Bava Vibo. It's not a din of Kriya, but it's a din of covered for your parents. And therefore, Shmuel's statement that you only rip Kriya B'Shas Chimam is still correct. Now, the Gemara asks, according to this idea that you're ripping additional kriyas covered other than the emo, do they have the same din as the original kriya, which was the mitzvah kriya that you did for a parent? And what was that? We said by the parent, by other than the emo, when they pass away and you rip kriya, you're never allowed to fully sew up that shirt. After the shloshim, we said you can partially sew it up, but you're never allowed to fully sew it up. As opposed to the other five relatives, after the shiva, you can partially sew it up, and after the shloshim, you can fully sew it up. So these additional kriyas that you do, the covered other the emo, do they have the din of the original kriya and it's never allowed to be fully sewn up? Or no, this is only covered, so then you'd be allowed to fully sew it up after the shloshim. So also in Karayim, these additional kriyas that you did, the covered other the emo, misachin, are you allowed to fully sew them up? Away misachin, you're not allowed to fully sew them up. So this is a machlokas. Pligibo avua de Rav Hoshaya ubar kapara. The father of Rav Hoshaya and Bar Kapara had a machlokas in this regard. One of them, we don't know which one at this point, Chadamar Ein Misach, one of them said you're never allowed to sew up even these additional kriyas, and the other one said, no, these are not like the original kriya, which is never allowed to be sewn up, these additional kriyas, so Chadamar Misach, and you're allowed to go and sew them up. So the Gemara wants to suggest, who said what? This is Machlokes, Avu de Rav Hoshaya and Bar Kapara. The Gemara wants to suggest, from the fact that Rav Hoshaya held a certain way, Mestama, he learned it from his father. His father held that way. Testayim, let us prove that Avu de Rav Hoshaya, Damar E Mesachim, that it was in fact the father of Rav Hoshaya who said you're not allowed to ever sew it up, because his son said that, Damar Rav Hoshaya E Mesachim, so Mestama, Iman Shmiele, Bav Be'avua. He must hold like his father. Mistama, he learned from his father. So therefore, if we know that the son held a misachin, Mistama, that his father, Avu de Rav Hoshaya, also held that way. Gemara says, Lav Davka, he was a Talmud of Bar Kapara. Lo, the Bar Kapara Rabbe Shmilei. Rav Hoshaya's son learned by Bar Kapara. So Lav Davka, did he hold his father's opinion? He may have learned from his Rebbe, and he's actually Bar Kapara's opinion, so you can't bring me a riot from the fact that Rav Hoshaya said, Emisachim, that either Avu de Rav Hoshaya or Bar Kapara was the one that held that way as well, because Rav Hoshaya could have learned it from either one of them, from either his father, who was also his Rebbe, or from his Rebbe Bar Kapara. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rava, Rava tells us a din. Avel metayel bo unkeli besoch beso. Unkeli, Rashi, both in the Ksiv Yad and the regular Rashi, tells us that unkeli was this torn garment, the garment that you ripped Kriya on. So Rava says on Shabbos, if the person wishes to go walk around in his house, besoch beso, with this unkeli, with this ripped shirt, he's allowed to. Abaya Ashkel Rav Yosef, and in fact, Abaya found Rav Yosef when Rav Yosef was in Avelis, the Paris Le Sudra Areshe, he in fact put a kerchief over his head, he did this Atifa, and Va'oz of Asavese, and he was walking around in his house with the Atifa Sarosh, which one might have thought you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So Amalei, so Abaye says to his Rebbe Rav Yosef, doesn't the Rebbe hold, Lav Soval Amar, doesn't the Rebbe hold like the opinion that we brought down? Ain't Avelis b'Shabbos, that we don't observe Avelis on Shabbos. And this isn't this Atifa observing Avelis on Shabbos when you're doing this in the house. So Malay, so Rabbi Yosef tells his Talmud Abaye, no, Hochem Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with the statements that we had previously from Rav and Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan holds, Devarim Shebitzina, no way. He says, no, these things are an obligation. Bitzina, it's only b'fahesya that you don't do those things of Avelis b'Shabbos. But b'tzina, just like you don't have Tashvish Amita, so too, you have to go around in the privacy of your house, you have to have Atifas HaRosh as well. It's only in public that you don't do Atifas HaRosh. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said we had a machlokis as to whether the individual days of Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are also Mevatel, the Shiva and the Shloshim, just the way the other regalim, Pesach and Sukkot are. So we brought down in the Mishnah that Rabbi Gamliel holds that, in fact, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have the same din like Pesach and Sukkot, and so too does Shavuos Atzeres. And the Gemara now says, Rabbi Lezer, we quote the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer, Omer Shchor B'Samidish Atzeres Kishabes V'chulei. So Rabbi Lezer's opinion was that Shavuos is not like Yontif, like Pesach and Sukkot after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because they no longer had the ability to bring the korbanos during the tashlumin period of time. But Rabbi Gamliel disagreed, and the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Gidlo Bar Menashe Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Gidlo Bar Menashe says the name of Shmuel. It's important that it's Rabbi Gidlo Bar Menashe saying the name of Shmuel. Later on, we'll have a girsa that would suggest that it was in the name of Rav, but they'll say there are those opinions say it was the name of Shmuel, because here Rabbi Gidlo Bar Menashe says the name of Shmuel, that we passing like this opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, Halacha Rabbi Gamliel, and that is in fact the way we passing that. All of the Yomim Tovim, Pesach, Sukkos, and Shavuos, as well as Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, all knock off the Shiva, and they would knock off the Shloshim. That's the first version that we have of what Rav Gidlo Bar Menashe said over the name of Shmuel. V'ikud Masne, others said it, that this is where Rav Gidlo Bar Menashe said it. V'ikud Masne, Lohod Rav Gidlo Bar Menashe, aha, it was going on the following statement. And that was, and this is a din of Avelus as well that we haven't discussed till now, and that is, Kol Shloshim Yom, Nebuch, Rachmona Litzlan, Lo Aleinu, the baby with the die in the first 30 days of life. Rashi says that we're dealing here with a baby that Lo Kolu Shnosav, it wasn't a full-formed baby, and therefore, we don't have proof that it's not an aphel until it lives 30 days. If it dies nebuch within the first 30 days, it's not considered definitely a vadai child that was born. So then we take the baby out to bury him. We don't take it out in a coffin. We don't take it out in a bier, B-I-E-R. We don't take it out in the normal procession, but we just take the baby out. Kol shloshim yom tinok yotzei b'chek. We take it out in the chek, in the bosom of the mother or the father, the nikbar, and you bury the baby. Without great fanfare, the Isha Achas was just the mother present in Stumble, one woman present, Ushnei Anoshim, and two men are present. There is no obligation to do it more in a public way, in a normal, quote, levaya and burial process. Nebuch, this child, wasn't considered a bar kayama, and therefore you can do it in a much less public way with much less fanfare. But you should do this with one woman and two men, not the other way around, because the Tanakama over here is concerned. Avolobi isha echad ushtei anoshim. If you do it with one man and two women, we're concerned about pritzos. Even in this situation, you're not allowed to be misyachid. Rashi says, shei misyachid in moisha, that this one person is not allowed to be miyachid with two women, because rachmon hulitzlan, it can lead to an aveira. Even in this terrible situation where they're burying a young baby that was just born, didn't live 30 days, Nebuch was still concerned about the Yetzirah being miraculous. We turn to Chavdal and Amidbeis, and everybody agrees with this. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. However, Avashol disagrees. Avashol Omer, Af b'yishechud ushtei et noshim, you would be allowed to bring the baby out to the burial plot with just one man and two women, because in this situation, as Tosus points out, it's brought down in Maseches Kedushin, even though this is the halacha, you shouldn't go out with one man with two women, but Bishas Avelus, the Terida, in this situation where you're so busy and involved, Nebuch, in burying this child, we aren't concerned about this. Abishol says this would be allowed. The Brisa continues and tells us, Nebuch, for this young child that died before the age of 30 days, vein omdim alav b'shura, we do not have the normal shura that we make at a funeral after the burial. You know, people line up on both sides of the avelim pass through, and we say amokim enachim, so we don't make that shura. Likewise, vein omim alav birchas avelim, we don't make what's known as the birchas avelim. Rashi tells us over here, the birchas avelim is a bracha, she'omer b'rechova kedamer b'ksuvus. The Gemara Ksuvus tells us that they would have a sudas havra type of a meal in the public area after the burial. Other people would supply them with the food, and there was a certain bracha that they would make over there. They would have a special benching as well, and we do not do this for the Nebuch, the little baby that died before the age of 30 days old. We likewise don't have a normal avelus. We don't have a shiva. The tanchumi avelim is also not done, the saying and going to the house and saying hamokim menachem. We don't do that during the 7-day period of the shiva. There is no formal shiva for such a baby Nebuch that passed away before 30 days of age. However, if the baby was 30 days old, again, Nebuch, that such a young child dies, but it's now more than 30 days old, it's considered a Vlad Shel Kayama. So in this situation, Ben Shloshim, if the child is at least 30 days old, Yotzei B'Deluskuma, the Luskuma, Rashi in the Ksiv Yad tells us it's Kli Shenik Barbo. This is the little coffin Nebuch that they buried the child in. It's a little box. It's not a regular coffin. It's not a regular burial implement. But they do have some sort of a burial with this duluskuma. Rav Yehuda says, Rav Yehuda omer lo duluskuma hanitelus, because if this is not a little box, a little coffin that is carried on one's shoulder, that's not a b'chavadika way to do this. Ela hanitelus ba'agofayim. It's carried on the, literally the wings, which means the shoulders of two people. It's carried in the agofayim, is literally the arms of the menachamim. So as Rashi says, b'shnei b'nei adam derech kavod, this is a more b'chavadika way than to have one person carried on their shoulder. So you have two people carrying it on their arms, on their agofayim. This is the more appropriate burial, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And here as well, v'omdim ol b'shura, after the burial, you have the people lining up on both sides, and the avelim walk through in between, and you have all the normal things that are done at a levaya and that are done at the kvura. V'omer and olav birchas avelim. They have the special meal that they gather together in the rechava, where they say the birchas avelim, and you have a regular shiva of a tanchumi avelim occurs as well. That's for the baby if it's more than 30 days old. Ben shneimasar chodesh yotzi b'mita. If the child is already more than 12 months, then we carry it out in a regular coffin. B'mita means the regular coffin that is used, and it's treated as Rashi Ksiviyad tells us. And he adds the words v'rabim tzolchim olav. Also she chovas olotzeis b'mita. Once you have already the child going out in some sort of a formal coffin, that's a covered gadol who she rabim mis. Anchim olav, then you should have a lot of people there, and then you should have more mourning and more of emotional gathering. And there are those svarim, Rashi Ksiviyah continues, isram de kosubu matzivin. Instead of the word mitzavchin, we don't have either of these kirsos over here, we only have it later on. He says it means matzivim, kolomim mishanim ponim, umitztarim, kumo tzovu ponim, that they get all red in the face, that they get very upset. The emotional loss over here of such a young child is something that's very significant. So according to this opinion that we're bringing down, as the Tanakhama opinion over here, if the child is more than 12 months old, yotzi b'mita, then we have the child going out in the formal way with all the accoutrements of a normal burial. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva omer, who ben shana ve'evarvik ben shtayim? You have to be a little bit older. You have to have a two-year-old. You have to look like a two-year-old. Either that the child is chronologically one-year-old, but he looks like a two-year-old child, evarv ben shtayim, he's a larger child, or even if he's only 2 years old, but he's small, that's also good. Who ben shtayim ve'evarvik ben shana? He's a small two-year-old. That would also be, in that situation, yotzi b'mita. But less than that, the child is less than 2 years old and doesn't look like they're 2 years old, then you wouldn't do this more formal type of a burial, according to Rabbi Akiva. So only in this situation is Yosef B'mita, and you have the large gathering and people mourning. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, anytime a Yosef B'mita, if you go out with a mita, Rabbim Matzivim Olav, then you do have this more formal type of a burial, and larger around the people there, and you have all of them being Matzivim, which we said again was a more public mourning. However, Eino Yosef B'mita, if the child isn't carried out in a formal coffin, then Ein Rabbim Matzivim Olav, then you don't do this. So he seems to indicate that it's not dependent upon the age, it's dependent upon whether they took the child out with a coffin or not, with a mita or not. Finally, we have the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Nikol Rabin, Rabin Misaskim Imo. If he was recognized by the Rabin, Rashi in the Ksiviyat explains, Shoyo Godol Kvar, Shoyo Rogi Lotzis Vlovo Lebesa Knesses. If the child was old enough that he came to shul, people recognize the child, they know him, they're familiar with him, so then you have a very big public mourning and a public levaya. However, Eino Nikol Rabim, if the child wasn't old enough that he was known by the public, so then Ein Rabim is asking him, then it's not necessary to have this large public gathering, and we don't do that. The Brisa continues and says, "Umahein behesped." That was for the actual burial. What about hespedim? What about eulogies? Do we make eulogies for such a young child? So Rav Meir says over b'shem Rabbi Shmuel. Rav Meir says the name Rabbi Shmuel that Omer aniim, the children of a poor person, of a destitute person, b'nei shalosh. Then, if they're 3 years of age, you go and make eulogies. Rashi in the Ksiviyat explains in this situation, b'nei koras ruach shel oni shemitztar al b'no yosim in usher. A poor person doesn't have much in life, so his family is sometimes more important to him, and he will feel the loss greater. Alternatively, Rashi also mentions should be no messiah b'tzarchlo, that this child will help him. He doesn't have servants. He doesn't have all sorts of people helping him in his business, in his farm, or whatever he may have. And therefore, this child is a bigger loss to him than to an usher. So Rav Meir says the name of Rabbi Shmuel that aniim that are 3 years or of age or older, you do a regular formal eulogy. Ashirim, for the rich people, they're, so to say, now it's not talking about emotional loss. It's not saying that the emotional loss of a poor person is greater than for a rich person. It's talking about practical utilization, if you wish, of the child, and it's felt more by the poor person, so they'll make the eulogies at the age of 3, whereas a richer person would only make eulogies if the child is 5 years and up. Again, this is not written in stone. This is not halacha l'maisa. We do things quite differently today. Rav Yehuda Omer Mishmo. Rav Yehuda says over Mishmo in the name of Rav Yehuda, so it's a machlok Meir and Rav Yehuda as to what Rav Yehuda's opinion was. Rav Yehuda says the age is not 3 and 5, the age is 5 and 6. Aniyim b'nei chamesh, ashir b'nei sheish. So he says the pattern would be for a 5-year-old for an ani and a 6-year-old for a rich child, that's when they would start making eulogies. B'nei zekeinim, likewise, those that had a child in their older age, so kibnei aniyim, we treat them like poor people in that the loss is more significant or felt greater for them, and the need for their spedim is more prevalent. Again, this is not to suggest that other situations, it's not a tremendous loss for Chamon al-Islam. Nobody should know such things. But here they're giving us parameters as to what would be the normal understanding of when you do a eulogy. And again, this is not written in stone. These aren't absolute halachos. They're, again, totally on what the custom is in different places and what the family would want in these situations. Amar of Gidl bar Menashe, and here we said this was the Ikar Damasni. There was another statement as to what Rav Gidl bar Menashe said. The first statement he brought down was he holds like Rav Elazar in the Mishnah, that we paskin that all the Yom Tovim as well as Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur knock it off. But then we had the Ikar Damasni, the other version, and we said it was another version of what Rav Gidl bar Menashe said. So we have the Girsa of Rav, but many others have the Girsa. No, this is another version. It was what Rav Gidl bar Menashe said in the name of Shmuel. So the Girsa should be over here, Amar Gidl bar Menashe, Amar Shmuel. In any event, the Halachi, he said over here, the second version is Halachi Rabbi Yehuda, like the opinion of Yehuda, Shama Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, that said it Mishum Mishumo, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, that it's 5 and 6 years old. Okay. Now we go back and we darshan as follows. Dorash Rabbi Anoni. Rabbi Anoni darshaned. Now this is Rabbi Anoni bar Sason, and he darshaned apischo debei nesia. He darshaned this shear that he's about to give by the entranceway to the Nasi's house. In a moment we'll have a similar occurrence in Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, the head of the Jewish people was known as the Nasi. In Bavel, it was the Reish Galusa. We'll have a very similar statement that was made by the opening to the house of the Reish Galusa in Bavel. So the first statement that we have is that Rav Noni bar Sason made the following statement, halachic statement, in front of the Reish Galusas, in front of the Nasi's house, and he said, Yom Echol Lifnei Atzeres Nebuch, if a person dies a day before Shavuos, so they sat Shiva for a short period of time. We pass on like Beis Hillel's opinion, the Chachamim's opinion, that even Shor Achas knocks off the Shiva. So in this situation, there was Shiva of one day, and then the Shloshim started, and then the Shloshim is Shavuos, so the Shloshim starts at Shavuos, so Shavuos counts as 7 days. So therefore, Harei Kan Arbasa, you have, since Yom Echad Lifnei Atzeres, that counted as the Shiva, and then Shavuos, the Atzeres, that's the way we always refer to Shavuos, that counts as 7 days as well. So you have 40 days of the Shloshim already used up when you just had 2 days since the Patira of the Nebuch, the dead person. So that's what Rav Anoni bar Sason said. Shama Ravami. Ravami heard this shir from Rav Anoni, and Vikrit, he said, hey, why is he making a statement as if it's his own statement? Omar Otu Didehi, is this his own shita that he's saying? The Rabbi Elazar, Omar Rabbi Yoshai, this is in fact the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Omar Rabbi Yoshai, which we'll see in a moment what it was, but first we have the similar story that happened by the Reish Galusa's house in Bavel. Darsh of Yitzhak Nacha, there was Yitzhak Nacha, Akilah the Reish Galusa, he gave this drasha on the porch of the Reish Galusa's house, the exact same drasha. Yom Echol Lifnei Atzeres V'Atzeres, if a person Nebuch dies a day before Shavuos, and then Shavuos comes, so the day before Shavuos, it knocks off Shavuos, knocks off the Shiva because we pass him even Shor Achas, and then Shavuos counts as 7 days. So he said the same exact thing that Rav Anoni said. Harikan Arbasa, you have used the 14 days over here of the Shloshim. And here, it wasn't Rav Ami, but it was Rav Sheshis who heard this, Shama Rav Sheshis, and he was Ikbid. He was also surprised that Rav Yitzchak Nafka said this as if it was his own din. Omar, he said, Otu Didei, this is his own din. No, this is Rabbi Elazar, I'm Rabbi Yishai. This is the din of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yishai. So why is Rav Yitzchak Nafka making this like it's his own din? Similar, the Rav Ami, it said, why is Rav Anoni Bar Sason making this as his own din? This was a well-known statement that Rabbi Elazar Amar Rav Hoshaya made. What was that? Amar Rav Elazar Amar Rav Hoshaya, minayin la'atzeres sheyesh lo tashlum kol shiva. How do we know that Shavuos has the 7-day period of time to make up the tashlumim if you didn't bring your korbanos on the first day? You still have the extra 6 days of tashlumim. Again, we have a remnant of this by many people don't say tachlum until yud beis to remind us of this din of the tashlumin that you can bring your korbanos, and when you brought a korban, it was like a holiday, and therefore we don't say tachlumin, according to those opinions that don't. So therefore, Rav Elazar Amar Rav Hoshaya said, this is based upon the pasuk where it tells us that shalosh pamim bashana yireh kol zechurcha, and it says, Espnei Hashem Elokecha b'makom asher yivchar b'chag ha-matzos u'b'chag ha-shavuos u'b'chag ha-sukkos. So it compares these yomim tovim. Chag ha-matzos is compared to chag ha-shavuos, and just like ma chag ha-matzos yesh lo tashlumin kol shiva, everybody agrees that by Pesach, as well as by Sukkot, that there is a 7-day period of time, the first day plus the extra days of the Yontif, to make up if you didn't bring your korbanos on the first day, so you can make it up. So too, Ma'achak HaMatzot Yeshul Tashlumin Kol Shiva, so too, Achak HaShavuos Yeshul Tashlumin Kol Shiva. The Hekish in the Pasuk, putting both Chag HaMatzot and Chag HaShavuos together, as well as Chag HaSukkos, teaches us that there is a 7-day period of time. And that was the famous drush for Elazar Rav Hoshaya. So why did these Amoroim, either Rav Anoni Bar Sason, or Rav Yitzchak Nafka say it in their own name when they said it over in the name of, should have said it over in the name of Elazar Amar Rav Hoshaya. Now, there are reasons why they said this. We won't go into that right now, but it's not like they were trying to say something on their own. They wanted to point out an additional feature or facet of this din, and that's why they said it. Okay, Gemara continues and tells us, Adbere. Adbere is a lashon that we have in a number of places where you have an older Amora with a younger Amora, an older Talmud Chacham with a younger Talmud Chacham, and the younger Talmud Chacham either assists physically, carries, in some way supports the older Talmud Chacham, and they're sitting in and talking and learning while they're doing so. So Adbere Rapapa, Rav Avya Saba. Rapapa was assisting Rav Avya Saba and the Darash. While they were walking, they darshaned as follows. Yom Echad Levnei Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah, the similar thing that we just said, Elazar Rav Hoshaya said before Shavuos, so they said the same thing before Rosh Hashanah. So a day before Rosh Hashanah, and then the person passes away, and then the Shiva is knocked off by Rosh Hashanah, because like I said, we paskin like Beis Hillel, the Chachamim, that even Shor Achas knocks off the Shiva, and then Rosh Hashanah functions as 7 days as well. So Yom Echad Levnei Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Harei Kanar Bo, so that counts as 14 days of the Shloshim. Now, incidentally, you're going to knock off the Shloshim with Yom Kippur, and all of the Mefarshim talk about that, but the simple understanding is, yeah, he's just telling us this thing, that this is 14 days, even though the Shloshim is going to be knocked off by Yom Kippur, and whether this is 7 days of Rosh Hashanah or not considered 7 days of Rosh Hashanah, it's going to end by Yom Kippur. So he's just telling us the din that the Shloshim is considered 14 days after Rosh Hashanah. Now, Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Hilchoch, based upon this, when the same thing happens a day before Sukkot, so Yom Echad Levnei Chag, Chag is always Sukkot, so if a person never passed away a day before Sukkot, so Sukkot knocks off the Shiva, and then you have Sukkot itself, which will count as 7 days of the Shloshim, and then you have Shmini Atzeres, which is regular Levnei Atzmo, so Shmini Shalo is a separate Yontif, so it's going to knock off another 7 days, so you have Harei Kan Esim V'Echad Yom. So even though the person passed away one day before Sukkot, at the end of Sukkot, and after Shmini Atzeres, so it's already considered as if 21 days of the Shloshim have gone by. Rashi points out that you see clearly that the Shloshim does count on the Regel, even though we said that the Shiva doesn't count during the Regel, but the Shloshim does count during the Regel. But according to the opinion, it says the Shloshim doesn't count during the Regel, so then the reason why it counts over here is because you started the Shiva. Once you start the Shiva, everybody agrees that the Shloshim counts during the Regel. In any event, that's what Ravina says over here, that by Sukkot it's actually 21 days as opposed to Shavuos or Rosh Hashanah, which is only 14 days. Finally, the Gemara concludes, Ravina, Ikla Lasura de Pras. Ravina went to the city of Sura, which is on the Euphrates River, de Pras, and Amar Le, Rav Chaviva, Misura de Pras, Ravina. So one of the Talmidei Chachamim, the Rav Chaviva, who lived in Sura de Pras, said to Ravina, did you in fact say, he questioned, did you say that Halach is Yom Echad Levnei Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Harei Kanar Basa, that you held that this is also 14 days if the person never passed away the day before Rosh Hashanah, so Rosh Hashanah knocks off the Shiva, and then Rosh Hashanah counts as 7 days itself? Did you say that? As we had just brought down in the Gemara, Amar Ravina. So Ravina responded, no, he didn't actually say that. Amar Leh, he said, I know, what I actually said was, Mistabra, it makes sense, Ki Rabban Gamliel Hu Damina. That which Rabban Gamliel said, that Rosh Hashanah is no different than the other Yomim Tovim, and therefore Rosh Hashanah knocks off the Shiva, that's what I said. But I didn't specifically make the statement that therefore it should count 7 days of the Shiva and 7 days of Shloshim when the person Nebuch dies the day before Rosh Hashanah. That I didn't say, but I did say that we hold, like Rabban Gamliel, that Rosh Hashanah does knock off the Shiva. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.